You can open up your Bible to Proverbs. Now, I know a lot of you are probably making a beeline to Proverbs 31 right now. I'm going to say, hold up. We're not going there. Go to the exact opposite end of the book. We're going to be in Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. Again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. I think motherhood is one of those lost treasures in our country right now. I think it's lost a little bit of its value. In saying that, I will also say that I do believe there's been a little bit of a resurgence of motherhood in the last maybe 5 or so years. Being a mother is not an easy job. The mothers in here can testify to that. And most of you can probably give some really funny stories about raising children in your home. So I Googled some. Because obviously we can probably give some, but there was a few funny stories of just moms and their kids. And so one mom wrote about being a stay-at-home mom with little kids, and she said, "You know, my personal appearance ranks very low on my priority list each day. The doorbell rang at 2 p.m. and I was still in my pajamas with my 4-year-old, and I was greeted by the UPS driver. And at this time, my son had such an infatuation with uniforms. And so he started telling the UPS driver how much he liked his uniform and how much he thought it was really cool. And his son was like, yeah, my mom wears a uniform every day too. And the UPS driver, well, what is that? She's like, she wears the same exact PJs every single day. That's her uniform. And so the mom was just like, okay, well, thank you, son, for telling the UPS driver that I'm always in my PJs by 2 p.m. And so each of you probably have some funny stories or have some really entertaining stories to tell people, whether it's Mike and Lisa telling me a story one time how Grayson at 3 years old, backed the truck or SUV out of the driveway somehow and got stuck. And I mean, or from Marty telling me that his parents moved without telling him when he was 6 years old. You know, whatever it is, you know, there are just funny stories that you probably have either growing up as a child with your parents or maybe just raising kids. But at the same time, parenting, and especially motherhood, can be extremely difficult at times. It's not an easy job for mothers to pour into their kids. Because let's be honest, sometimes your kids don't want to hear it. Sometimes your kids don't want to listen. And it's just like you're talking to a brick wall at times, you know. But the funny thing is, no matter how difficult it is, you can still find joy in something that's really, really difficult at times. So the question is, why do you have joy in such a difficult thing? Because I know difficult things, I typically don't have too much joy in something that's just extremely difficult. Well, I think you can have joy in motherhood and joy in parenting because I think God designed those things for us to do. I think it's natural for us to want to mother, to want to father, to want to parent our children, because I think God designed the family, and I think God designed motherhood. And I think he ordained these things in actually Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1:27 it says, "So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply the earth, and subdue it.'" And so, what does it mean to be fruitful and multiply? You know, why did God create Adam and Eve? Well, it says that he created them to be image bearers of God. So in other words, we're created to reflect God. And so to be fruitful and to multiply, it's like, hey, be fruitful and to multiply other image bearers of me so that other people will bear my image. And so we see that God is creating this family structure that Adam and Eve will bear children, and in that they will create image bearers of Christ, of God. And so we see within the family, God's ordaining families, he's ordaining mothers and fathers to create image bearers of himself. And God is ordaining the family here. And so the family is a vessel that God ordained to guide our little ones so that they could be image bearers of Christ. And that's why we can have such joy in something so difficult, because God designed it for us to do. And in that design, even though as hard as it may be at times, we can find joy in it because we're doing what God has created us to do, to create image bearers of himself. So since it's Mother's Day, obviously we're going to talk more about the mother role than the father role. Fathers, you're going to get your time in a few weeks, okay? But the book of Proverbs is an interesting book. You know, at the end we see Proverbs 31, kind of this ideal wife, you know, that we see, and we like to tend to go towards that on Mother's Day. But the book of Proverbs, let's think about this for a second. It's written by a guy. Okay, it's written by Solomon, the king, one of the wisest kings that ever lived. He was also one of probably the more simple kings that ever lived too. But Solomon, this book is actually written to his son. Solomon is writing this book to his son, giving his son advice about life. And interesting enough, Solomon tells his son about his mother, about how you need to respond to your mother, why your mother is valuable to you. And so in the way that Solomon is telling his son, hey, these are my commands to you for how you should respond to your mother. I think we can take a lot from how Solomon, a father, tells his son what to do with his mother. And I think we can learn a lot from that. But in saying that, let's give a little background on Solomon a little bit. Most of you know, or if you don't know, Solomon's mother is Bathsheba. Okay? Now, Bathsheba later married David under some very ugly circumstances that God did not really didn't glorify God. God wasn't pleasing to God, but she was Solomon's mother. All right. And so I want to read a passage in 1 Kings just real quick, just showing you the way Solomon saw his mother. In 1 Kings 2:19, this is the picture of how Solomon viewed his mom. It says, so Bathsheba went to King Solomon and spoke to him about Adonijah. The king stood up to greet her, bowed to her, sat down on his throne, and had a throne placed for the king's mother. So she sat down at his right hand. So Solomon and his mother, even though he was conceived in some bad circumstances, saw it fit for him to bow and have a throne placed beside him, so that he could listen to his mother's teachings and her guidance. Shouldn't we take a little step in guidance from Solomon the way that he treated his mom? Even a king stooped down to bow to his mother because he saw how profitable and how precious his mother's advice and her guidance for his life was. So what I want us to do today and look at these two verses, I want us to see kind of what Solomon says and how we can view motherhood. And just some challenges for mothers today and your raising of kids and the struggle that it is for you today. And just some things that we can draw from Solomon in this. So read with me in Proverbs 1:8-9. It says, listen, my son, to your father's instructions and don't reject your mother's teaching. For they will be a garland of favor on your head and pendants around your neck. And so as we dig into this text, let me pray for us. Father, I'm so thankful for the moms who are here and just the mothers that have poured into their children's lives. Father, those are a prize. Those teachings are prizes to their children. And Father, I pray that the children will not stray from those teachings, but they'll hold them close to them, listen, and obey those teachings. And Father, guide us today as we learn about motherhood and as we kind of seek some challenges for what it means to be a mother in today's culture. And so we ask this in your name. Amen. The first thing I want us to see is kind of how Solomon saw parenting and maybe saw motherhood. And Solomon saw the family as a school. And so it's assumed here that the father is going to be instructing and the mother is going to be teaching. That's just assumed here. He's telling his son, listen to these things. So he's saying these things should be happening in the home. A father should be instructing and a mother should be teaching, okay? For your children to be worshipers of God and to be image bearers, they have to learn in the home. That means mothers, we need to be teaching them what the Bible is saying so that they can be image bearers of God. The family is where the next generation is born and where they will learn how to live for Christ. That's where the home is what the home is for. You know, worshiping God doesn't come naturally for us. You know, I've been a parent for nearly 3 years now. And the only thing natural that I can assume that children know how to do is to suck on a bottle, to cry, and to poop. Those are the three things that come naturally to children. Everything else is learned according to what I have been able to gather. You know, whether to walk, to talk, even just moral actions like courtesy and gratitude, respect. But even more important, faith in Christ is something that has to be learned and has to be modeled to them. You know, it will not come naturally for them. So in the home and as a family, we have to instruct, and mothers, for you today, we have to teach our children what it means to be followers of Jesus and what it means to be an image bearer of Christ. In my sermon prep this week, I did a little research because I was just curious, and I'm curious sometimes. And so I was just curious to know when the Bible talks about teaching children, what does it really talk about? Kind of who is it talking to? And I found something very interesting. Did you know every time when the Bible talks about teaching children, it always 100% of the time is talking about the family? It never once mentions the church. Isn't that interesting? Because I think it's God's ordained plan that the family is the means to where children learn how to be a Christ follower. Not saying that the church is not here to assist you, but I don't think the church was ever the main component or the main avenue that God had placed to be the main learning center for your children. The church is here to assist you in that and to reaffirm what is being taught in the home, but it was never meant to be the main source of teaching in your child's life. It actually was affirmed that the family is supposed to be the main source of teaching for children in their walk with God. And listen, I know this is difficult at times. I'm a dad, and we're trying to do family nights where we teach right now Lydia about the Bible, and she gets off track in a hot second, and she talks about the jewelry that people are wearing before she learns about the Bible story. It can be extremely difficult. And you may think that you may not be equipped to do it. You don't know enough about the Bible, or you just feel inadequate about teaching your children that. Hey, and I can say to you, I'm a pastor, but I understand where you're coming from with that. I really do. But in that, that's why the church is here. The church can assist you and help you in that teaching process. That we can maybe give you some resources and give you some direction to maybe help you teach at home to where your kids can become image bearers of Christ. You know, this is where I kind of get my model for children's ministry, that we just don't want to build children, but we want to build families. Because at the end of the day, I don't want the church to be the main resource for their children. I want them to be learning this at home first and the church second. That the church is just assisting and reaffirming what is already being taught at the home, and yet they're getting it in two places, not just one. And so that's why I want to build the family and not just the church. And so the home is the means by which God has put in place for us to grow our children. And mothers, it's a grind. And I just want to thank you all, to all the mothers out there who are grinding it out or have grinded it out their entire life. Thank you for the grind, because it was beneficial to your children. And trust me, we're going to talk about how it is beneficial to you in just a second. But thank you to all the mothers that have done the hard work, that have grinded it out. And for the mothers who are in the grind right now, keep strong, keep at it, because it is what God has commanded us to do. But next, I want us to see kind of responsibility. Let's go of the mother. Let's go a little bit deeper into this teaching aspect. Teaching your children is an immeasurable, significant privilege to a mother. At times, I know it may think that it's a hard thing, but it is a privilege to be able to teach your children what the Word of God says. It truly is. You know, and I think motherhood at a time has gotten a little bit of a bad rap, because I think we've progressed in our culture to an extent to where I think that, you know, mothers and fathers are so busy that, you know, pursue your career, and sometimes your family gets neglected because you're so much pursuing your career. But you know what? I want to push back up against that and say, is that biblical? Is it biblical that we pursue a career, or we try to promote ourselves so much that we're neglecting our family and fatherhood, and especially today, motherhood? We don't want to look down on moms or even fathers that place a great emphasis on their family, because I think we need to place great emphasis on their families. Most of you probably know, if I say the name Ann Landers, do you know who I'm talking about? Okay, Ann Landers. If you don't know who Ann Landers is, Ann Landers was a pen name of a Chicago Times columnist. She wrote an advice column, and so people would write into her, and she would post them, and she would, in the column, she would answer the questions and so forth. Well, she did this for 56 years, and in 1988, a mom wrote to her and penned this letter to her, okay? So I'm going to read you this letter. So she says, "I'm so tired of all these ignorant people who come up to my husband and ask me if his wife has a full-time job or if she just is a housewife. So, well, to them, here's my job description. I'm a wife, mother, friend, confidant, personal advisor, lover, referee, peacemaker, housekeeper, laundress, chauffeur, interior decorator, gardener, painter, wall decorator, dog groomer, veterinarian, manicurist, barber, seamstress, appointment manager, financial planner, bookkeeper, money manager, personal secretary, teacher, disciplinarian, entertainer, psychoanalysis, nurse, diagnostician, public relations expert, dietitian and nutritionist, baker, chef, fashion coordinator, and a letter writer for both sides of the family. I'm also a travel agent, speech therapist, plumber, automobile maintenance, and repair expert. For the studies I've done, it would cost more than $75,000 a year to replace me. I took time out of my busy day to write this letter, and because there are still ignorant people who think a housewife is nothing more than a babysitter and watch soaps all day long." You know, obviously this was in 88 and stuff like that, but I think sometimes we do place a bad rap on mothers who place great emphasis on their family, even if a mother works, a mother who works but yet takes a lot of time out of her day to really place great emphasis on their family. I think sometimes we've looked down on that. I think we need to restore our vision on that, to say, hey, it is biblical to say for a father and a mother to place great emphasis in their children, in their family, so that their children can grow up to be image bearers of God. Being a mom is not easy, and it takes a lot of sacrifice to do it. To teach your children daily and weekly when they don't want to listen, it's a grind, but it takes a lot of sacrifice on the mother's part. So thank you, moms, for the sacrifice that you made in doing so. I remember when I was an assistant manager back in college at a sporting goods store, I had a lady who worked cashier for me, and she was and she had about a 13, 14-year-old daughter. And I remember her working the cash register one day, and I was doing something kind of up that way, and she got a phone call. So she took the phone call, and at that time, I don't think anybody had cell phones, so it was actually a store phone. She put down the store phone, and her daughter had made some bad decisions, and she was in some trouble right now. And so the mom literally put down the phone and immediately left. And when I say immediately, I mean immediately. Like, as she was walking out the door, she told me, "I'm gone." And, you know, and so I didn't really know. I was like, okay, Margie, like, see you later, you know, I guess. And so she just walked out the door. Well, later she called me, and she filled me in on why she had to run out the door, because her daughter was in trouble. And she was like, "You know, I feel like at this time in my life, I don't have to work. My husband makes enough money for us. I'm going to quit so I can stay at home with my daughter so that I can help her through this time." You know, she had to make a great sacrifice for her daughter. You know, working was something that helped her stay busy and just kind of helped her pass the time and make a little extra money for her family. But she was like, "You know, at this point in my life, I'm willing to make that sacrifice so I can be with my daughter, because she needs me in her life right now." You know, and I know a lot of you out here today who are moms have probably made similar, maybe not that, but maybe have had to make sacrifices in your life for your children. You've done things that a lot of people may have thought you were crazy or weird, or for making those types of sacrifices. But, you know, being a mom is a full-time responsibility. And thank you for making the sacrifices for your children so that they could potentially one day be image bearers of God also. And they can have faith in God, and that they will reflect Christ in their life. You know, when Courtney was pregnant with Lydia, we started talking. We were like, okay, so what are we going to do? Because Courtney was a kindergarten teacher at that time. And we were talking about, well, are you are you going to stay at home? Are you going to work? Or are we going to put Lydia in daycare? And so as we started to talk through kind of what we wanted for our children and why we started looking at scripture and what we wanted, you know, we were like, you know, for our family and for what we want, we think it's better for Courtney to stay at home, that, you know, we'll go off my income, which I didn't make a lot. And so we just decided, like, hey, we're going to make that sacrifice. Courtney's going to stay at home and to teach our children. And so that's what we just decided to do. And granted, like, not every family can do that, and we understand that. And I'm not I want you to hear me. I'm not standing up here saying that you have to stay at home with your children. You can't work. But I'm saying for our family and what we felt like it was the best way for our children to learn and for Courtney to be able to stay at home, because we just valued to what Courtney brought to our family at home than for her working. And so we had, Courtney made that sacrifice for our family. She said, you know what, I'm not going to work. And there are days where she gets stir crazy in the house. And, you know, all you moms have felt that, where it may be 6 o'clock at night, you haven't seen sunlight yet, you know? And so, you know, you understand that. But, you know, sometimes you make sacrifices. And for you moms who may have to work or had to work during your children's life, you know, you get home and you're with your kids immensely, and then after they go to bed, you're packing and preparing for the next day, and then you're up in the morning having to get everything ready. Like, it's a chore to do those things, but to make sure that your children are taken care of and they're taught, you make those sacrifices also. So thank you to the moms who have made such sacrifice for their children. Let me give you a biblical example of this, of mothers and maybe even a grandmother, because we know we have a lot of grandmothers here today, who had a lasting impact on really the furtherance of the church. And it's Timothy's mother and grandmother. And a lot of you probably have heard the name Lois and Eunice. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says this to Timothy. He says, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. So in other words, he's giving credit for Timothy's faith to his mother and his grandmother. And then in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul goes on to say this, you, Timothy, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing that you have learned them, talking about his mother Eunice and through her, through his grandmother Lois also, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, because he was taught them as a child from his grandmother and mother, which are able to give you the wisdom now that leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's a remarkable testimony, that Paul is giving credit for the faith and the life of Timothy because of his mother and his grandmother teaching him the Holy Scriptures. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's the interesting thing also. We know a little bit about Timothy's dad in Acts 16. It says he was a Greek. Now, that's probably telling us that his dad didn't know the Scriptures, and he really didn't teach Timothy that, or he didn't want to teach Timothy that. And so Timothy's faith did not come from his father. It came from his mother and his grandmother. Isn't that an interesting concept? Now, I will say, we'll talk about this on Father's Day. I do want fathers to be involved in that process. But it does show you the importance of either mothers and grandmothers in children's lives. So don't take that for granted, that the heritage that that Timothy is leaving has a lot to do with what he learned from his mother and his grandmother. They filled him with the Scriptures, and eventually those Scriptures is what God used the Scriptures to enlighten him and for him to give his life to Christ and to live for Christ. See, Timothy and his legacy will live on forever because we have them in Scripture, but they will live on forever because of what his mother and his grandmother taught him as a baby and as a child. So mothers, don't take lightly the responsibility of teaching your children. It is such a precious and a vital and important description of what God has given you as a mother. But not only do we see the responsibility, and we see that Solomon saw the home as a school, I think in verse 8 we see the prize that it is to your children, and also we'll see a crown that it is to the mom. In verse 8, it tells us that the children need to listen or hear the instructions of their mother and don't turn away from the teachings of their mother. So in other words, it's telling them, children, be submissive to these teachings. Like, actually listen and obey what your mom is telling you, okay? Listen to your mama. It says, young people, when you're at home, listen to your mom. Don't write off what they say. Don't just think they don't understand what I'm going through. They don't understand kind of culture today. Listen to your mom. Don't do it for her sake. Do it for your sake and do it for God's sake. You know, this command is so important that God actually made it one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father by listening respectfully when he speaks and guides you. Honor your mother by remembering what she taught you about right and wrong, about the fear in God, and about what it means to love Jesus. You know, hearing a father's instructions and not forsaking a mother's teaching, it says, will be a wreath of grace around their head. In other words, it will bring glory and joy. It will be like a gift. It will be like a prize to them. In other words, it will mean triumph and celebration in their life because it means that those teachings are what guides them in their life. That those teachings will help guide them, and hopefully that means those teachings will make them image bearers of God. But since it's Mother's Day today, I think we should kind of end by reminding ourselves as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, whether we're young or old, that the fountain of life and the strong confidence and the deep satisfaction that comes from honoring all the truth that our mothers have taught us will not just be rewarding to the children, but will come back as a crown of joy and honor and blessing to the mom in later years. Because just think about when a mother sees her children living in the way that they were taught, it's a joy to them, right? Like, when you see your children living that way, it's kind of a joy. Even at 3 years old, when we see Lydia doing things that we taught her, it just brings pleasure to us. You know, there's just a comfort to that. You know, Proverbs 23:22 says, do not despise your mother when she is old. And then in Proverbs 23:25, it says, let your father and your mother be glad and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. So let your mother rejoice by seeing that you're living out what you have been taught as a child. So do not forsake your mother's teaching, because it will not only be a wreath of grace around the child's head, but it will be a crown of joy to the mother as she sees her child living in the way that they were taught. Let me pray for us today. Father, I'm so thankful for the mothers who are here today. I'm so thankful that you have given them such a great calling. But Lord, I'm thankful for just the obedience in that calling. And Lord, what a great responsibility it is to teach our children so that they will one day be worshipers of you, Father. Lord, I pray that for the mothers out here today and the grandmothers here. I pray for perseverance. I pray for wisdom beyond understanding, and that the Spirit will guide and lead them so that as they mother and guide the children that are in their life, that those children will one day become worshipers of you, Father. And so, Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.